judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day when every thought and word and action
the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thusia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thusia Seventh-day Adventist, and please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, be with us as we enter into your word. Help us to explain ourselves clearly. Help everyone to understand. Bless us with your presence right now. In Jesus' holy name we pray with thanksgiving unto thee. Amen. Well, we are continuing for this last time our study on the secret rapture. We were to end that study in our last presentation, but there are so many more scriptures of importance that needs to be understood, that we have to continue it to show you those scriptures. And after this, we would have finished with this study. But we want you to know very clearly that the idea of a secret coming, which is called a secret rapture, presented by much of those evangelical religions, are not true. Those teachings are not true. There is no secret coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ is presented in the Bible in different ways, with different symbols, to emphasize various truths that we will get a whole picture of it. And these pictures of a second coming, these presentations, have been given to you from the first witness or the Old Testament. But there are many more statements in the First Witness or the Old Testament that speak about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Often, this event is called the Day of the Lord. And this phrase, the Day of the Lord, shows us a horrible seven final or last plagues falling upon the face of the earth that ends in the second literal appearing of Jesus in heaven. So the idea of a secret rapture, where the saints are caught up in heaven and civilization continues on the earth normal, and they face an antichrist, and all sorts of those events happen, is not true. When Christ comes the second time, that's the end of human civilization until the earth is made new. That's how your Bible presents it. Your Bible tells you that at the second coming of Jesus Christ, civilization on the earth as we know it ends. The earth is brought into ruins. There is destruction all over the earth. Dead bodies scattered all over the earth. Broken down buildings. The earth is shaking and heaving from earthquakes. And this is the state of the earth for 1,000 years, commonly known as the millennium, until after the millennium pass, when the holy city will descend on the earth and all the wicked will be resurrected to face what the Bible calls the executive judgment or hellfires. That's the biblical pattern. Now, what we want to do, we want to give you some scriptures from Revelation that speaks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But those scriptures that we are given to you are all presented in various ways to emphasize various points so that a person will get a total picture when you put them all together. We can only afford to give you some of the scriptures in Revelation. For instance, we start at Revelation chapter 6, and we will read from verse 14 to verse 17. Here is what we are told. I quote, "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Did you see that? This is telling us that the heavens depart as a scroll. Think a scroll, something rolled up on both sides. And then suddenly when it is open, it rolls out. So it departs as a scroll. This is the atmosphere that is around the earth, the oxygen disappearing from around the earth. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, the oxygen that is around the earth will burn up, will dissipate, and it will look as scrolls rolling in the heavens. That's what you will see here. And so, we are being told that not only does the heaven depart as a scroll, we are also being told that every mountain and island were moved out of their place. What does this show? This show a great earthquake, a cataclysmic earthquake that breaks up the very foundations of the earth, that every island and mountains were to be removed out of their place. All this is at the second coming of Jesus Christ. This proves it will not be a secret because the whole world will know. Why? Look at the type of events that will be happening. Those are events that people will obviously be partaking in. Because if every island were to be shaken, if the mountains were to be thrown down at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the whole world will know. But it doesn't only end there. It continues. "And the kings of the earth," verse 15, "and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." What does this tell us? Right now, in various parts of the United States, in various parts of the UK, in various parts of Europe, in various parts of the Middle East, in various parts of Russia, they have all built huge cities underground. Yes, my dear people. And these cities are to be inhabited by selected people. This is a fact. And those selected people are the ones who will go to these holes under the ground. Those people underground. And those people will be there seeking protection and safety from what they call cataclysmic events that are supposed to take place upon the face of the earth. But in this case, this cataclysmic event is the second coming of Jesus. So huge populations will be placed in those underground cities to escape what takes place around the earth. But here is what the Bible tells us again. The kings of the earth, those are the world leaders, and the great men, and the rich men, the international bankers, and the chief captains, top military men, and mighty men, men of great renown in science, psychology, philosophy, and a whole sorts of things, and every bondman, and every free man, certain people that are selected to live in those places, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Did you see that? Huge, huge rocks underneath these large mountains. They go and they hide there. And verse 16 tells us, "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" End of quote. Did you see that? So we are being told they will actually seek to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. And Jesus is the Lamb. And the great day of his wrath is the time of his second coming. It starts with the first of the seven plagues and end at the end of the seventh plague with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And here the Bible clearly gives you an event of great cataclysmic proportions that means a lot for us. And it clearly tells you the coming of Jesus Christ is associated with great events that took place, as explained in the prophecies. So when Jesus comes, it's not going to be a secret coming where people vanish away. Great events are to take place. Cataclysmic events are to take place. Great heavings and swellings of the earth is to take place. And this is what we are being told here. This scripture here clearly shows us that there will be no secret coming. Let us go on again. We go to Revelation chapter 11 and we read verse 18 and verse 19. Here is what we are told. I quote, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth." Did you get that here? So in other words, we are being told a judgment is to come first. And in this judgment, the saints are to be rewarded. Now, this judgment is in fact none other than the investigative judgment which takes place. And we are told after this judgment, God is going to destroy those that destroy the earth. So the next verse is going to show us where the judgment takes place and gives us a brief account of the destruction of the earth. I quote, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." End of quote. Did you see that? So here in this vision, John explains that this judgment takes place in the temple of God that is in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Now the ark is the ark in which the law of God was placed. And the law of God was called the testimonies or testament. So in this judgment is seen the ark that has the law of God. Yes, my dear people. This clearly shows us that the judgment is to be based upon the law of God. "So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law." So this judgment takes place concerning the law of God and sinners, and those who are righteous receive their rewards because they were converted, because they were justified, because they were actually holy as they have been changed by God himself and made sin free by God himself. So they receive their rewards. What happens then? God then destroyed those who destroy the earth. And this destruction is described as lightnings, fierce lightnings leaping from the sky and setting fire to huge areas on the earth. We already have signs of these things being shown in different parts of the earth. We have lightning killing 32 people in India. We have lightning setting huge areas in California, in Alberta, and way up in Siberia, huge areas set afire by lightning flashing from heaven. And these fires continue to burn even right now. Again, we had fires in Indonesia and Malaysia, and these fires often were caused by lightning strikes. But here the Bible tells us lightning and voices, and that voices are people screaming all over the earth as great destruction takes place. It continues, "And thunderings, huge peals of thunder all over the earth, shaking the earth." We are told also, "And an earthquake," which is the great earthquake, "and great hail." So here we are told of great hail falling. And we already have signs that this hail is going to come, because occasionally hail fall in different parts of the world, destroying property, killing animals, and sometimes killing people. Yes, my dear people. So here we are actually being told of these destructive things that took place in the prophecy here. and these things will happen in the future. So when these things happen, these things prove to us that the second coming of Christ is not a secret coming, but that horrible things like these will happen. And these horrible events shows that people will know when he's coming the second time again. Because look, these events here prove these things like that. Now if we go to Revelation chapter 14 and we read verse 14 to verse 20, we have another set of symbolic presentations here, all teaching the second coming of Christ. We will read the symbolic teachings here, or these prophetic forms of presentations, and we will reduce them to its simple meaning for you. If we look at Revelation chapter 14, and we start with verse 14 going on, down to verse 20, here is what we are told. I quote, "And I looked, and behold, a great white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Did you see that? So Jesus Christ is sitting on a cloud, and he has a sharp sickle in his hand. This is all symbolic, but we know when he's coming, he's coming with clouds. And we know a cloud received him out of the sight of the disciples, and he will come back with a cloud. So part of this prophecy here is literal and part is symbolical. He will not come with a literal sickle in his hand. The sickle symbolizes something. Let's see what. We continues. "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." Did you see that? So it is not a literal sickle in his hand, but we are being told he reaps because the harvest of the earth is ripe. What is this telling us here? This is the judgment in which all the saints are reaped. Yes, my dear people. It continues. It says this in verse 16. "And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." Now, reaped of whom? Reaped of all the righteous. Yes, my dear people. It continues. Verse 17. "And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire," that's a symbol of retribution, "and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." Now let's just stop here and look at this. We are told that Jesus Christ reaped the earth. What did he reap the earth of? The grapes. What we mean? The clusters of the vine. So the clusters of the vine symbolizes those who are lost. So here is an angel saying, reap the clusters of the vine now. In other words, take the clusters of the vine to destroy, to throw away. How do we know? It continues. Verse 19. "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs." End of quote. So what do we see here? We see again wrath, the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is seen trampling the clusters of the vine, symbolically in a winepress. And blood comes out up to the level of people's bridle from the horse. So what does this show us here? This clearly shows us terrible things that are to take place. And we see, who does the reaping here? Again, Jesus Christ. So there's a dual reaping. A reaping of the righteous and a reaping of the wicked. The reaping of the righteous for salvation. The reaping of the wicked for wrath or blood or destruction. This here is another symbolic presentation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And look, there is no secret coming here. Look, we are being told of cataclysmic events that took place. Cataclysmic events that are supposed to occur all over the earth. All this is clearly presented to show us there's no two phases. There's just one literal second coming. That's all it is. One literal second coming to determine the total destruction of this earth. Yes, my dear people, this is how your Bible presents it. If we look again to Revelation chapter 19 and we read verse 11 to verse 15, here is another symbolic presentation. Revelation 19, 11 to 15. I quote, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, and no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood." So from the time you see that, you know it is speaking about retribution on the earth already. "A vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." So this is Jesus Christ, because he's called the Word of God. It continues, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Those are angels coming with him. It continues, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." End of quote. Did you see that? Now in chapter 14, you saw the winepress of the wrath of God, which was treaded on the clusters of the vine. So this same phrase is borrowed from chapter 14 and placed in chapter 19 to show you that the events are the same. They are all speaking about the literal second coming of Jesus. The difference is, we are just having different symbolical representations. In here we are being told that Jesus and all the holy angels will come, and he will destroy the earth. The sword out of his mouth is words that he will say that will cause tremendous earthquakes upon the face of this earth, including the great earthquake. And here you have that in chapter 19, clearly telling us of a literal, physical second coming of Jesus Christ. But if we go back to chapter 16 of Revelation, and we just look at some verses, verses 17 to 21, we would see again the literal, visible second coming of Jesus Christ. Because cataclysmic events occur at the second coming, causing the world to know. So there is no secret coming. And it's here clearly presented in the Bible. Now the whole of chapter 16 deals with the seven final or last plagues, which is called the Day of God, because those plagues fall within a year, and a year in the Bible is symbolized as a day. So the Day of God is the year of the plagues, and the Revelation 16 is about that. But when we come to the ending of Revelation 16, because at the end of the seven last plagues Jesus comes, here is what we see. I read Revelation 16 from verse 17 to verse 21. I quote, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done." Did you see that? A great voice saying, "It is done." Now remember, before we showed you that a sharp sword coming out of his mouth, with which he will rule and destroy the nations. Now this is the same word, "It is done." And these words sound like thunder, according to Revelation chapter 11 that we read for you before. And these rock through the earth and cause the earth to shake with a terrible, terrible earthquake, such as was not. When he says, "It is done" here, it continues. Verse 18, and there were voices, people screaming, and thunders all over the earth, huge peals of thunder as his voice triggers it off, and lightning flashing from the sky, catching whole regions on fire. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. Did you see that? The great earthquake. Now, these events are obviously visible events, cataclysmic events that affect people that are alive on the earth. Then how could there be a secret coming? But it continues. Verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Did you see that? Cities of the nations fell. Whether it is Paris, Moscow, Port of Spain, Ouagadougou, or Mecca, or Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Kingston, or wherever, all these cities of the nations fell at this. Then obviously, as the cities of the nations are being destroyed, people must know Christ is coming the second time again. So then there is no secret coming. It goes on. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then it tells us, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, which is about 50 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plagues thereof were exceeding great. End of quote. Did you see that? So all these statements here shows us about a literal second coming, because this coming is associated with cataclysmic events that will cause the whole world to know. So if the whole world knows, how can anybody speak about a secret coming? A secret coming is falsehood. It is wrong. It just came from the mind of a sick child, 15 years old, in Scotland, in Glasgow, in the 1800s. And this teaching was false, the secret rapture. But it spread all over the world through John Nelson Darby and then Cyrus Schofield. And this is how this thing came to be known all over the world. But it is a false teaching. So in conclusion, when anybody tell you about a second coming of Christ and tell you a secret rapture, know that the Bible does not sustain a secret rapture. No matter how their pastors, their ministers, their college seminaries seems to present this, it is false. It is not true. So any one of you want all these programs that have passed before, call us at the number 625-0446 and we will give you this program and the others that passed before. And may God bless you until we meet again. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life Radio broadcast. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123, that's 528-2123, or 531-7558. We do look forward for you joining us again next week when we present to you another edition of Escape for Thy Life. Until next time, may God bless you.
How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before Him wanting, or with our sin?